Merry Christmas to everybody. We're glad to have you here this morning. So this morning is not a Bible verse as such. We're going to read the Christmas story and then tell you what I'm going to preach about. Chapter 2 of Luke is where we'll be after we pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in the name of Christ Jesus, especially this time of year when you decided to manifest yourself as a man to come and lead a perfect life, a sinless life, in order to die for our sins, that we would have a representative before the Father who was perfect and could represent us in righteousness. Nobody else could but you, and nobody else can but you, and nobody else would but you, and we thank you. As always, remove me from this place that you be heard. And anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. And all that should be remembered, please have it be. That above all you be glorified, the church edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Chapter 2 says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came in with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And that is what we call the Christmas story, and it's good to read that Christmas morning before you open your presents to remind you of why we have this season of the year. We give each other gifts because God gave us his greatest gift. But this morning we have an unusual sermon, which isn't unusual. And when you see people this time of year and you haven't seen them for a long time, you're at a party or somewhere, and we use the phrase, look who's here, don't we? I said it this morning to a couple of people coming in. I said, well, look who's here. And it's not so much that we say, look who's here, but it's the way we say it. My wife is constantly reminding me it's not what I say, it's how I say it sometime. As the caveman on TV that I hate says, I'm not 100% in love with your tone. So when we read things, it's very difficult to get the full meaning because we can't hear how the person said them. And we say the same thing with different meanings just by the way we say it, don't we? And we do that this morning. I was listening to Vance Havner this week preaching from Moody Bible Institute, and in his sermon he mentioned, look who's here. and had a word or two to say about it as only he can. And I said, boy, that'd make a good sermon. And so we want to say, look who's here. So, hey, look who's here. It's Charlie. All right. Yeah. Charlie is a new grandfather. Yeah, his daughter, 45 years of age, had a baby. And Pam sent us an email, said the baby looks just like Charlie. I said, boy, that's going to be a heavy baby to carry around. I tell you. But the mama and baby doing good, Charlie, everybody's fine. Boy, that's great. Congratulations to you. But we say that just like we do here. Look who's here. Sometimes it's in a good way. You're happy to see him. Well, look who's here. Sometimes it's not so good, isn't it? Well, look who's here. Depends on how we say it. And I began to think and said there had to be many, many times in the scripture that that was said, not that they use our little colloquialisms. That means things we say regularly, Tracy. What? And we don't know, but I assume that in that language they used, they had something similar to look who's here. And not that they said it, but how they said it. And in this few verses alone is a few, and we've marked a few others depending on the time. And we find that Mary and Joseph had made this long trip by donkey. And there's no such thing as a donkey luxury model. It was a hard trip. And she's pregnant, and you ladies know the difficulty us men go through when you're pregnant. And she's riding the donkey. And finally gets there, going to check in the Holiday Inn, and they've been booked because of the tax thing and nowhere for them to stay. So the guy says, well, I do have a little cave out back. I keep my animals there. It's clean and nice, and you're welcome to stay there. I just hope you don't have that baby while you're here. But they did. They had the baby, as it said, the days were accomplished in verse 6, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes are grave clothes, by the way. They're just strips of what we call strips of linen. And it doesn't say, and you're not supposed to add to scripture, and I understand that. We don't add doctrines and we don't take away, but as John said, if they wrote down everything Jesus said and did, I guess the Bible, the world couldn't hold the books. So we have license to imagine without doing violence to the scripture. And I can just see after this hard birth and this hard trip, and finally they're there and in a little stable, cleaned it up, and whether someone had come to help with the baby, I would imagine some of the ladies around came. Bible doesn't say whether they did not. But the baby's born, and that's no pleasant thing for any woman, especially after a trip like that, and a young woman like Mary, and we assume she was between 15 and 18 years of age. And it's her first child, and they're nervous anyway. But the baby's born, and somebody wraps him in swaddling clothes. And I can hear Joseph handing the baby to Mary for the first time and saying, honey, look who's here. We've waited so long. And the angel told us he was coming. And we know he's named before he's born. And we don't really understand what this is all about, but we'll just be faithful to God. If he sent an angel to tell us he'd be born, he'll keep in contact and let us know what to do. But just look at him. Look who's here. And she had to hold that little baby. And as Mark Lowry sings, Mary, did you know? When you kiss that baby's face, you were kissing the face of God. And you can hear that, can't you? Saying, just look who's here. And then we get to verse 8, and we see the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, it says. And we tell that story and sing that song, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore, meaning very afraid. And I guess so, you please have to understand, in the dark hills of Judea, of the nighttime stars and the blackness, and there were no cities full of light. As we can see around our area, we can tell where the city is miles off because we see the sky glowing from the lights of a city. And they didn't have that. Just total darkness, and they're out there watching for the animals who would come in and steal their sheep and the little ones and do the damage that they could do, and they're on guard duty, and all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appears in his brightness and his glory in this darkness, and they see him. And here's the poor little country shepherd. And the shepherds were at the bottom of the society, by the way. They were just below the used camel salesman. Their witness couldn't even be held in court. They were held to be such terrible people, you couldn't trust them. They weren't welcome in the stores, and they just weren't welcome. But these are the people who the Lord had announced his birth to. Because from the first he wanted you to know, no matter how low you are on the social scale by other men's thinking, that he came for you. And you can hear the shepherd, the first one to see him, he didn't know what to do. All of a sudden this brightness, and an angel appears, and he's saying, "Whoa, hark, herald, look who's here." Had to say it, didn't he? Let the other ones know. For in this shock, he wanted to know what was going on. And of course, the angel said, look, don't be afraid. Nothing to be afraid of. I just came to bring you tidings of great joy. And told him about the Savior who was being in the first days of his birth. Told him where he'd find the baby and all. Can you imagine being that shepherd? And you got to say it. Isn't that good? Look who's here. Verse 25, they said, after the baby had been born and days had passed by, and it would be the eighth day. That would be the Jewish day of purification, when they would bring him to Jerusalem and present him to the Lord. And by the way, the rabbi in Washington, was it Seattle, wasn't it, wanted the Christmas tree taken out of the airport. And they've put it back in, by the way. But I wanted to get in touch with him, not to be hateful, and say, "Rabbi, what is your problem? Everybody in the stable was Jewish, weren't they?" What is your problem with a Christmas tree? He wouldn't have understood it anyhow. And so they bring the little baby Jesus for the rites of purification, as they did. And there was somebody in the temple. And it says, behold, verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. You don't hear much about Simeon, do you? And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He had been waiting for the Messiah. He had been waiting for the Christ. He had been waiting for this time to appear. And he was an old man. And this was the only thing keeping him alive. He had been promised, read on, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was promised he would not die until he saw the Messiah come.
What an honor for a little righteous and just man. You'd hear nothing else about him in Scripture other than this is what he did. And surely he said it. Been waiting years in the temple and going about being a righteous and just man, and every baby that was brought in for the rites of purification, he'd go over hoping this was the one. The Jews do that today, you know, when every baby boy is born, they gather around to see if this is the Messiah. And Simeon went, and he had been told by the Spirit of God, this is the one. And no doubt he said it when he saw him. Look who's here. Look who's here. The Christ is here. The Messiah is here. The baby, the promised one, the anointed one, the Savior is here. And I get to see him. Then he said, look in verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. And now he said, you can take me home. I've seen him. I've seen him. No doubt picked up the little Jesus and gave him a warm hug. Said, look who's here. In verse 36, another was there, and it was a woman by the name of Anna. Anna? And Anna was a prophetess, and she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and then he died. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. She was there every day, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Understand, the Jews had been looking for him for hundreds of years. Now he had come, and she had read that Isaiah had said hundreds of years before he's coming, he's born of a virgin. And she read where the prophet Micah had said he's coming and the government will be laid on his shoulders. And he read where the baby would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. She knew who she was looking for. And when Simeon said, look who's here, she knew. And she came to see and said, yes, it's him. And no doubt turned and cried to the other women there, look who's here. Look who's here. It's him. It's the baby. It's the anointed one. It's our Savior. He's here. He's here. Do you hear me? He is here. I said, well, do you think she got that excited? Yeah, I do. Because people are still getting that excited when they find him today. I had a phone call yesterday from Mike up in Rock Hill, and Mike is the plumber at the apartments we so graciously have been given to live in by Billy Powell in Florence, and he'll listen to this. Merry Christmas, Billy. I hadn't heard from Mike in a while because he travels to all of Billy's apartments. He only has 2,000 between here and Spartanburg, and Mike heads up different facets of building them. But Mike is eat up with being saved. He just never got over it. And he'll call me every now and then, and I hadn't heard from him in a while, and yesterday called, and you just have to recognize his voice because he's already talked 5 minutes in the first two and telling you what happened just as I did. Beaver, just thought I'd call and tell you I'm in Columbia, and we were doing it. I said, whoa, Mike, slow down. I didn't have to ask who it was. Tell me about it. He said, well, I got 20 in the crew and they're working. And yesterday I always have a little, I preach to them, you know. I said, I know. And then he plays my CDs while they're working. They can't get away from it. And he said a little 19-20-year-old kid was there, and after he finished, the little kid came up to him and said, "Mike," said, I've got to get saved." And he said, "Well, we'll do that." He said, "Well, I've done this and done that and done this and done the other, and the Lord's dealing with me, and I've just got to get this thing settled." And Mike said, "We will in just a minute." He shouldn't put them off. I mean, the Lord may come. But he took a chance and said, "Just a minute. Get over here." Got all 20 of them over here. He said, "Tell them what you just told me." He said, "See, he's sick of what y'all doing. She's doing it. And we're going to lead him to the Lord right now." And they had a word of prayer, and they accepted the Lord as his Savior. And Mike, just excited as could be, that kid was just so excited, because he was saying, "Man, look who's here. Look who's here." Didn't know he was with me every day. He didn't know he worked with me every day. He didn't know I bumped into him every day. He didn't know I ate lunch with him. Look who's here, a man who's got the ticket. That kid called Mike the next morning and said, "Mike," "What?" He said, "We got another one in the family." He said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I've been telling everybody. And one of the other fellas who worked with us, I told him." He said, "You got to be kidding." He said, "No." And I told him, and he wanted to get saved too. And Mike's just rejoicing, see. Just excited. People are still saying when they first meet the Savior, "Look who's here. I've been looking for you in all the wrong places. You're peace and joy and happiness, aren't you? You're the answer to all my prayers, aren't you? You can do away with all my sin, can't you? Look who's here." I don't have much faith in the salvation of these people who come forward with dry eyes and chewing gum. I just don't have a whole lot of faith in that. You'd be a little more excited if you won the lottery, wouldn't you? You'd be calling strangers. That's what Ann did. They took us out to show us the apartment we live in. And we told her it was for somebody else. She just wanted her opinion of it. Of course, I told her in the morning, and she's saying, "Well, I've got a beauty appointment. I can't go." I said, "Get in the car, you're going," because I already knew. "Well, I don't want to go." "Well, get in the car. You're going anyway." So she got in the car, and Connie's down there, and Patsy and all, and we're telling her it's for somebody else. We just wanted her opinion. Would she like the upstairs with the vaulted ceiling or the downstairs? And she's giving her architectural opinion of which one she'd like. And Connie said, "Which one do you like?" And she said, "Well, I like the upstairs one. It's up to me. I like that one." And Connie said, "It's yours." "What?" She said, "It's yours." And of course, she cried, and is now. And then she got to telling people. It was all right for people we knew. I thought that was okay. But she's telling everybody. We're passing cars. She's leaning out the window. "Vaulted ceilings!" "I get the big bedroom." All right. People saying, "Good, whatever it is, good, lady." Well, look who's here. All right. Oh, me. Jesus grew in wisdom, and I get them seeing, presenting Jesus as the perfect little boy who never had any trouble. Don't you believe that? He was a little boy like all of us. Fall down, tumble in the dirt, forget to wash his hands, eat his carrots with half a pound of dirt in it like we all did. You know what I mean. So how do you know that? Because what he did next in verse 5. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year to feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it."
You see, when they'd travel as a small caravan to and from where they were going, as kids will do, they'd all get together and play what we call soccer, you know, kicking a ball of some kind around, playing tag, having a good time all day. Just kept up with the caravan. That's all they had to do. The nighttime came, and Mary's got a little supper ready, and Joseph's sitting down ready to eat, and they're looking for Jesus. And Mary says, "You seen Jesus?" And Joseph says, "No, I ain't seen him. I guess he's playing with the kids. Call for him." No doubt she called. Said, "Joseph, he's not around. Word. Let me go down to his best friend's place and their family, see if they've seen him." They said, "We ain't seen him." "When you kids seen Jesus?" Said, "No, we saw him yesterday. He was walking and playing with them." "Said, none of you seen him? He's not with you?" And no, and so they didn't know what to do. What great fear would come over you, knowing bandits in the area? He could be kidnapped and sold as a slave. He could be attacked by an animal, killed. And that fear that comes upon mothers and fathers when a child is missing hit them, and they're saying, "Well, let's go back and let's see what's happening." So they go back after 3 days. They're asking people, "Have you seen a little boy about this high, wandering around with no parents, about this high?" "No, you seen anybody?" "No, I ain't seen anybody." "He'd be wandering the street. We don't know. His name's Jesus." "No, ma'am, I'm sorry." And maybe somebody walked by and said, "Oh, I just came out of temple, and there's a kid in there about like you described, and the priest and all are around him. I don't think he's hurt. It looks like they were kind of not arguing, but they were debating pretty heavy. You reckon that might be him?" Well, Mary knew him. She said, "That's him. He got another one witnessing to him." And they went, and no doubt Mary turned to Joseph and said it in a way you and I wouldn't. "Look who's here." There he is, 3 days later, like nothing's wrong, debating with the priest and the judges. And he was answering and asking questions they couldn't handle at the age of 12. Because, you see, they didn't know that was just his earthly age. They didn't know he had come from eternity and that he knew everything. And they stood in amazement, the Bible says, stood in awe as they tried to figure out, how did this kid know so much? And said Mary knew, 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. No doubt she said it rather sternly, "Look who's here." We find he grows up and begins to minister and comes upon some and said in verse 33 of Luke 4, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil," he had a demon. "He cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" Isn't it strange that the demons know who he is and a lot of liberal preachers hadn't figured it out yet? "Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not.
And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, look who's here. Who in the world is this? We've had the religious gurus come and go, and the priests come and go, and the holy men come and go. But who in the world is this that has the authority and power to command unclean spirits, and they come out of him? Who can this be? Look who's here. We've been scared of the devil. We've been scared of Satan and his angels who were fallen. We've been scared of what they can do. But look who's here. Fear no more. The hero's here. Lone Ranger showed up. Look who's here. We need to find out more about him. It came to pass on a certain day he was teaching. Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, and they were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem to see him. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The sick folk came. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. You know the story. Man was crippled and couldn't walk for himself, and his four friends loved him, and they put him on a mat like a we'd call a quilt, and each grabbed a corner and said, we'll carry him down there. And they brought him down and up the stairs on the side of the house when they couldn't get in, and dug a hole through the roof, which was made of dirt, and they dug a hole and lowered him down right in front of the Savior. Boy, it's some determined friends, isn't it? And don't you wish when you were lost, you'd have had four friends who were that determined to bring you to Jesus? And you need to be a friend like that to somebody who's lost and undone. And you need to bring them to Jesus. So they did, and they were sitting by, and of course you know the story. They lowered him down, and Jesus said, well, what's up? The guy said, what's up? I'm crippled. I can't walk. I can't move. I can't help myself. And Jesus looked at him and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. He said, what? He said, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they said it in their mind, the Bible said, because they didn't want to embarrass themselves. And they said, man, look who's here. This guy thinks he's forgiving sins. And then Jesus said, rise up, son, and walk. Roll up your mat and get on out of here. Thank you for your faith, and thank you guys for bringing it. The whole crowd said, look who's here. Savior we've heard about, the healer we've heard about, the Christ we've heard about, the one who can forgive sins is among us. Not only can make you uncrippled, they can make you found instead of lost. Look who's here. It had to be a happy day, did it not, when they found out who was there? All right. The days pass and Jesus goes about his ministry, and he's going down Main Street or cutting across Elm and runs into the corner, Elm and Main, and there's a funeral procession at the city called Nain. I think that's the only time it's mentioned in the Bible, little or nothing town. But death had come across a young man, and he was the sole support of his mother. Husband was dead. She's looking to him for her future because there's no way for her to get a job and work. There's no social security and welfare in those days, and this is her only hope. And now he's dead. The funeral procession is coming down, and the relatives are behind wailing, and If they had the money, they've hired a few professional mourners, as they used to do, that would cry for money. Some things never change. But fortunately, they came upon Jesus walking down the street. And if you'll notice in Scripture, any time Jesus meets death, death loses. And he stopped and said, "Hold up." You can see the mortician now saying, "Oh man, I hope it's not him." Well, he ready for a big feat. And as if he didn't know, Jesus said, "What's going on?" And they told him, "This lady has lost her only son, and it's her only hope. And now he's dead, and she has no hope." And he said, "Oh yeah, she's looking at hope." As he told Martha and Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life," and reached over and got the young man and said, "Get out of that box, son. Stand up." His hand goes up and his eyes flicker. He stands up, reaches over and hugs his mother. And I have no doubt she's saying, "Look who's here. Look who's here. My son's back. And whoever you are, Jesus, thank you. That's all I can give you is a thank you." And he smiles, thinking, "I didn't even ask you for that. All my gifts are free, man. I just ask that you accept them." Look who's here. And one day they were out in the boat, you remember? Jesus didn't go with them. He had been resting. So they went out on a boat on their own, and a storm came up. And I'm told by folks who have spent some time there that there's a valley that comes over the Sea of Galilee, and a wind at any time can come through that chimney-like affair and turn a calm lake that you could water ski on into a roaring sea, as we see when a hurricane comes in an instant. And that's what had happened. They didn't know what to do, because the interpretation the Scripture gives in the original says that is like a hurricane force. Wind that came. You and I are all too familiar with what happens behind me here when a hurricane comes. And these, some of them, Peter among them, and on the boat, and some were hardened fishermen. They had fished that lake that we call the Sea of Galilee. They had fished it 1,000 times, been in storms before. But they understood this was a biggie. And they said, "We're not going to make it, fellas. We're not going to get out of this one." The Jews thought that before you died, you saw a ghost. And they looked out at the storm and saw, and one of them said, "Uh-oh, look who's here. It's the death ghost." They looked into the mist and the fog, and sure enough, there was a figure there. And they know it's over, and then a voice comes over the water that's most familiar. And your Bible will say, "Not to fear, it is I." That's not what was said in the original language. What was said was "not to fear, I am." He's announcing his deity. "You don't have to fear, I made these waves. You don't have to fear, I control this sea. You don't have to fear. I can stop that wind with a word. Peter understood what he said when he said, I am. And impetuous Peter said, if that's you, Lord, let me come out there and walk to you. Thought he was putting Jesus to a test. Jesus said, help yourself. Jump the water. Peter said, I'm going to do it. And it wasn't timid. He stepped right overboard and kept walking. Kept looking. And didn't start to sink till he took his eyes off Jesus. And neither were you. And then he went back to the boat after Peter began to sink, and Jesus grabbed him and lifted him back up, said, stand on the water, it's me. And backed him up to the boat and got in with Peter. And I know Peter said it. Look who's here. Look who's here. Wasn't a death angel. It's Jesus. Look who's here. And this is the first time in Scripture that it said, and they fell down and worshiped him. The first time they really understood who he was. So look who's here. The Savior. Time passed, and there was time for the crucifixion. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew before he ever came as a baby what was coming, and voluntarily went through it for you and I. We got some more look who's here when they arrested him. They arrested him, and the soldiers said, well, look who's here. It's the king. Bam! Who hit you, king? He didn't answer. Said, yeah, that's the king. I've heard about him spitting his face. I said, who's spitting your face, king? Look who's here, fellas. It's the king. Come on over. Few more slapped him, and pulled his beard from his face. One said, hey, if he's a king, he needs a robe. Somebody get the king a robe. Look who's here. Get him a king. Get him a robe. And they got him a robe. Probably a Roman soldier's cape just laying around, and they were purple on the outside and red on the end, and that's why the Bible says one time he had a red robe and the next time he had a purple robe. You liberals who are very proficient in whatever it is you do but can't read, obviously, don't know that. They brought and put a tattered robe on his beaten body. Said, look who's here, it's the king. Tell us something, king. Speak up. He didn't say a word. And they go through the mockery of a trial and ship him before Pilate and Herod, and both of those arrogant leaders who hated one another, and the only thing that ever made them friends was their common hatred of Jesus. No doubt both of them said, well, well, look who's here. The miracle worker, I've heard about you. Do us a trick, Jesus. He didn't bother. He said, don't you know I have the power to take your life? You know who? You better answer me. Jesus said, son, you'd have no power at all if my father didn't allow it. You have no idea who you're talking to. And they assigned him to the death of crucifixion and took him over
only a couple of hours before they were to take him out and crucify him. And no doubt some of the fellow prisoners said it. Well, look who's here. Aren't you the preacher? Yeah. So what'd you do? I said, preached. What they got you in here for? I don't know. Well, this is death row, son. We're going to be crucified in about 3 hours here. Do you know where they've got you? Yeah, I know. What did you do to deserve this? Nothing. They didn't know what to do. The word spread, no doubt, throughout the prison. But look who's here. It's Jesus. I don't remember him ever doing anything wrong. All he did was heal the sick, make the blind to see, and was kind. And at his trial, they couldn't even find anybody who had a word against him, and now they've got him on death row. What's the world coming to? What is the world coming to? And they took him and marched him up Golgotha's hill, and somebody out of the crowd helped him with his cross when he'd fallen. Black man. Said, I don't know who you are, but you don't deserve this. I'll carry your cross the rest of the way for you. I can see Jesus just nodding. Thank you. And they go up and lie him on the cross beams and drive nails into his hands, into his feet. He's still got his crown of thorns on. They drop him in the hole of earth that he created. And no doubt there was murmuring through the crowd saying, look who's here. Why did they do this to him? And we're told of two thieves who were on either side of him suffering the same fate, and we're told they both railed against him and said, look who's here. If you're the Savior, then save yourself. While you're at it, save us. If you're who you say you are, get us out of this mess. Prove who you are. And they railed against him and cursed him, the Bible says. But one watched what he was doing. And they heard him mumble, Father, forgive them. They don't have any idea what they're doing. He watched who he was and what he was, and he had heard the stories, no doubt, and the man who knows grace better than anybody who ever lived turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, today, son, you will be with me in paradise. Boy, when he got there, don't you know some people were saying, look who's here. Dude stole from me all his life. One of the rottenest guys I ever knew. What's he doing here? When you get to heaven, you're going to see a lot of people, and you're going to say, well, look who's here. I never expected to see her. I never expected him to be there.
and you're going to hear a murmur in the crowd saying, look who's here. Boy, I never expected to see him. I don't know how in the world she made it. Look who's here. What a good day that will be, won't it, when you go and see people you've forgotten along the way, and you've often wondered what happened to them. And I can go back to Greenville every now and then to hold a funeral or whatever, and remember the last one I held for one of my football buddies played with us. He's been here on several occasions, visit with us in the summer. Roger Hall and Went, and we never got over being Red Raiders. I know it's silly to you, but it isn't to us. I want a red and white casket if I don't get out of here before I die. And it was good to see people and find out what some of them had done and hadn't seen them in 30 years or whatever. And one came, and I said, aren't you Junior Smith? He said, yeah, buddy. That's what they'd call me in school. He said, yeah, buddy, I'm Junior. I said, boy, it's good to see you. What an athlete you were. And we hadn't seen you since high school. And what happened to you? And he told me this career he'd gone through and what he had done, fine, did well in life. And he said, what are you doing here? I said, Junior, I'm the preacher. And he looked and said, guess what? I said, what? He said, I am too. I got to say it. Look who's here. Look who's here. You'll get to see people you've seen in this lifetime who didn't think you had much of a chance. And they're going to say it. Look who's here, and boy, am I glad. You're going to see them and say, look who's here, and boy, am I glad. And unfortunately, Jack and I talked and discussed the big centers, Dawkins from Oxford, and all of these intellectuals who don't believe in God. And one day after the Lord Jesus comes, and they're faced with the Antichrist. And then one day they're called to stand before the great white throne judgment. Ingersoll and Voltaire and Dawkins. That whole little crowd can stand around Madeline Murray O'Hare and quietly say, look who's here. Look who's here. The judge is here. There is a God. That is his son. And he has the gavel. And now he's going to ask those terrible questions to us, and we don't have any answers. Look who's here. Look who's here. And their eternity is gone. Different story for you, though. If you know him, Bible says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Two groups of people, two sightings of the Lord. One seeing him and saying, oh, look who's here. It's over. Eternity's gone. Eternity's lost. I was wrong. Look who's here. Look who's here. The other watching and seeing him with smiles on their faces, saying, well, look who's here. Savior. He who died for me is here. He who washed me in his blood is here. Well, how do you know it's him? Because he's the only one with holes in his hands. And they were put there for me. Look who's here. And so this morning we wonder what you'll say when you see him, and be sure you'll see him. Will it be seeing him in sadness or seeing him in joy? Has there been a time in your life when you knew you were a sinner? We all know that. But you said, I need a Savior. I believe it's Christ the Lord. I believe that baby came from heaven. I believe he lived a sinless life. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again. I believe he's coming back. And I believe by faith, if I trust him as my Savior, my sins are forgiven. Have you ever done that? It will determine how you say, look who's here. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you. And look who's here this morning. You said where two or three are gathered together that you would be in their presence. And though we don't see you, I know you're here. For I trust your word. And I'd ask you, dear Savior, if you would stop by those here today and those by means of radio who don't have a Savior, and tug on their heart, please, today at Christmas time, and say, let me give you the greatest gift ever conceived. Let me give you eternal life. All I ask you do is you commit to me and believe that I am who I am and trust in me. Will you do that? And if you'll do that this morning, whoever you are, on the authority of God's living word and God's written word, we can pronounce you saved. Look who's here. In Jesus' name we pray. And for his sake, amen.